Let's turn our Bibles to Psalms chapter 48. Psalms 48. Verse 14. Psalms 48, verse 14. For this is God, our God, forever and ever. He will be our guide even to death. Psalms 73, and verse 24. This God will be our guide even unto death. Psalm 73, verse 24 says, you will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Psalms 32. Psalms 32 and verse 8. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And the last one is Psalms 90. Psalms 90, verse 2. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So we've read about God, our God. He will guide us. He will instruct us. And then he will receive us into glory. So this God that we are talking about, who is he? He is a supreme being. He is the creator. He governs in providence. He sustains. He directs his creation. He is perfect in power. He is perfect in goodness and in wisdom. So who is this God? A wise man was asked, who is God? And he said, give me a day and I will let you know. After the day, he came back, he said, I need 3 days. After 3 days, he came back, he said, you know, I need a month. After a month, he came back. He said, I'm telling you the truth. I need a year. And finally, he came to respond, "It will take me a lifetime. And maybe I still won't know who is God." Do you know who is God? We notice there is God and there is our God. God is one. We heard during the Bible study, and one of the problems with our world today is that some people would want to only have God. No Jesus, no Holy Spirit, just God. And some are Jesus only. They would like to have just Jesus, and that's it. But our God is one God, existing in three persons. And let me just say this. You cannot consider God to be your God unless you recognize the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I've had the occasion to talk to a friend of mine, and in fact, we do this almost every Sunday. And he gets upset because he says to me, "God doesn't have a son. God doesn't have a daughter. God is one." He's half correct. God is one, but he exists in three persons. God is a spirit. And we find that in John's Gospel chapter 4 in verse 24. The psalmist, as he wrote in Psalms 48, the first verse he says, "Great is the Lord." And when we talk about our God, we talk about the great God. He is the God of Abram. Our God is the God of Abram. He is the God of Isaac. He's the God of Jacob. He's also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The God we're talking about is a great God and greatly to be praised. And we also find that he is incomparable, cannot be equaled. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 10, is the prompter on? Because I'm not seeing it over there. James, give me Isaiah 43 and verse 10. Let's let the word of God tells us. This one is not on. Isaiah 43 verse 10 says, now God is going to talk about God. He says, "That you may know me and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." One God. Isaiah 44 and verse 6 says, Isaiah 44, 6 says, "I am the first, and I am the last. And besides me, there is no God." Isaiah 44 and verse 8, "Is there a God beside me? Yea, There is no God. I know not any. Isaiah 45, verse 21 says, there is no God else beside me. And this is God speaking. A just and a Savior. A just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. And he says that unto me every knee will bow. Micah asked a question. He says, who is a God like unto thee? A God who pardons iniquity. A God who is compassionate. A God who delights in mercy. A God who forgives sins. The fool says, there is no God. And they even go as much as to say, look at Isaiah 46. Isaiah 46. We're going to read verses 5 and 6. To whom will you liken me, or make me equal and compare me, that we should be alike? Verse 46. Verse 6. And this is what the fool does. They lavish gold out of the bag and weigh silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith and he makes it a god. Common G. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. Can you imagine? We're talking about God, the great God, Jehovah. But the fool says there's no God, and so he makes himself a God. And funny enough, many people today have their own God. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 4. We'll see what the great king said. Daniel chapter 4. Verse 34. Can you bring it down a little? I'll read it from 34. Okay, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34. At the end of the time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praise and honor him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Verse 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, what have you done? God, great God, everlasting God, this God that we're talking about, he can only be your God if you are born again. Many people will tell you that God is their father. But the only person who can say, my God, is the one who has been born again or have experienced a new birth. God the Father is my God because of the new birth. He gave me himself. He made me. He loved me. He chose me. He begotten me by the word of truth. He provides for me. God the Son is my God. He gave himself for me. He redeemed me, and he intercedes on my behalf. God the Holy Spirit is my God. He lives in me. He is my comforter. He is my teacher. All three beloved and glorious persons of the Godhead, faith says, my God. My God, his omniscience is mine. He knows everything about me. His omnipotence is mine. He will do everything for me. His justice is mine. He reconciled me by his death. His mercy is mine, enduring forever. His truth is mine. He will keep his promises. His immutability is mine. He changes not. Therefore, I am not consumed. This God that we're talking about is a God who has revealed himself to us. He has made a wonderful revelation of himself to us, his being, his mind, his will, his heart. And this is done by his word. God is the, my God of the Bible is mine. And the Bible that declares him is mine. The Bible reveals his thoughts, his love, his promises, his gracious invitations, his glorious hopes, his solemn warning. So we have, as David says, this God, the one we're talking about, is our God. And notice what he says. To have a God who is your God, who is a great God, but he says, he's my God forever and ever. Not just for a time, but forever and ever. And this forever and ever translates itself to eternity. My God is my God is my God forever and ever. And then he says, this God will guide me even unto death. I need someone who knows the way as believers. This world is very difficult. We are compassed about by every known kinds of temptation. And so this God is one we need to guide us. He knows the way. As he said in chapter 73, this God will guide us by his counsel. And so, believers, We are to be guided by the Word of God. If you say that God is your God, this God has a responsibility to you. And he has manifested that responsibility by saving you and keeping you on a daily basis. But then you have a responsibility to this God. There is the scriptures. The Holy Spirit guides us. The Holy Bible guides us. And we have other Christians to follow as a guide. We have the Ten Commandments, which will guide us as we travel this pathway. Now in Genesis 28 and 15, the Lord told Jacob, I am with you. The Lord is with us daily. In Genesis 31 and verse 3, the Lord told Jacob, not only am I with you, but I will be with you. And of course, we know that Psalms 23 and 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. I really need a guide. And it's interesting that we've seen folks who decide to guide themselves in this pathway. And many have fallen on the side because of their own initiative. We cannot make it on our own. We need God, our God, to be our guide. And he guides us in the physical life. We ask him daily to guide us and to protect us. But also he guides us by his counsel, by the word of God. The things that we should do as Christians. The things that we should not do as Christians. So we need a guide who will guide us in this world. There is a road that leads to life. It's called a narrow way. And believers, we need to be guided because there is a broad road that leads to destruction. And many times we find ourselves on that broad road as Christians when we should be on the narrow road. So the Bible says that this God will be our guide even unto death. Now the question is, if God is going to guide us even to death, then what? And so David, recognizing this, wrote in the 73rd Psalm in verse 24, that not only will he guide us with his counsel, but he'll also receive us into glory. So that the result of God's guidance will be afterwards, he will receive us to glory. When we die, who will receive us in glory? Is it the angels? We know that our Heavenly Father, he stands waiting to receive us to himself. We know that our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who bought us with his precious blood, stands waiting for his bride. He paid a great price for us, and he is waiting to receive us to himself. As it said in 1 Thessalonians, the Lord himself, he's waiting to receive us into glory. And then we have the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And he's waiting to perfect in us the work he began when we first trusted in God. And that is to be like the Lord Jesus. In fact, it is said that we shall see him as he is, and we shall be like him. So, saints, this God can be, is our God. And he has rules and regulations for us. We are not our own. Once we claim this God to be our God, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And thus, we are called upon to submit to this God. He owns us. And he knows the best for us. And he wants to guide us into pastures green. If you're listening and you can't say that this God is your God, then you can do so today. You can do so by faith in the Lord Jesus. The Bible says no man comes to the Father except through the Son. You can't get to God by your way. And man has devised many ways of getting to God. But Jesus says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man can come to the Father but through me. As we look at our world today, we see the climax of lawlessness. And so we wonder, what's next? We as Christians believe that the Lord Jesus Christ will soon put in an appearance. And if you think this is a problem, wait. The Bible says this is the beginning of sorrows. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been born again? And if you have, God calls you to a life of holiness and righteousness. We as Christians, we must deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We must walk soberly, righteously, and godly in this world. We're not our own. Unfortunately, many of us as Christians believe that God is our God and we can do what we want. We can do as we like. Think of what he has done for us as we worship him this morning. He gave himself for us. And now he asks us, give me yourself. Give me yourself. May God grant that as we continue to think about this God, the one who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the great God, that we'll allow him to be our guide, to be our leader. And then we know that one day he'll receive us into glory. And what a day that will be. May the Lord bless us for his name's sake.
Thank the Lord for his word. Amen. You know, when I worked in Manhattan, they were always building. And every time they were putting up a building, I would walk and marvel, because first they went all the way down. And they dug this huge, huge